From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
Ah, the hustle and flow of a vital, living, breathing public radio station. Everyone's talking about deadlines or dead air, I don't know. Oh, makes me feel kind of itchy. So, today I quietly slipped on my fanny pack. Boy, we have to adjust that a little. And I slipped on out the back door and headed down to the boat harbor. The salmon season is slowly winding down, and some of the seiners are packing things up. Dungeness season is in full swing. Then I spotted a couple of snapper flippers lingering at the top of the ramp, resisting that slope downward toward the boat, an inevitable work. Ernesto Rambach is the skipper of the storied Dungeness boat, Point Omega.
Well, why are you a fisherman? Could you do anything else?
I could have, but I chose fishing because, like, right after high school, I was already had a land job, but then a buddy's like, we need a guy, need a guy. So I went, started off seining, or actually I started with Ronald Blondin, dungey fishing, and then it just escalated from that on. You know, you're once a fisherman, hey, how's it going? Always a fisherman, you know. It's hard. I've tried to get out of it. I've had land jobs, and I always came back to it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going to the Bering Sea for 30 years, so, and I just retired this year. Or, yeah, just this winter I retired from it. But, I mean, I love the ocean. It's peaceful, and it kind of, it just gives you a good peace of mind when you're out there. As long as you leave home on a good note, no worries, you know, everything's good out there.
How important is that, to leave town on a good note?
It's pretty important, because then it keeps your mind clear of what you got to do out there. Because it's not just the work-wise that you're got to pay attention to, it's the boat itself, you know, make sure everything's running right, make sure nothing happens, or if it does happen, you got that experience to fix it while you're out there, you know. Right. So it's important to have a clear mind, I think, for myself, when you leave port.
Right. Not have unresolved things on your mind.
Yep, you know, like if you have, say you're having family problems, it's best to take care of that stuff, or just any kind of problem in general. Take care of it before you head out, because it's just going to be on your conscience the whole time out there, you know.
Well, I used to think sometimes it's just going fishing made me take care of my business.
Yeah.
Because you got to get it all done before you leave.
Yeah,
because you know you can't be gone for 2 weeks or a week, you know, and then have
exactly. Exactly. That's, I mean, you know what I'm saying. You try to take care of everything before you leave.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been working out. I mean, 35 years later, I'm still a fisherman.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
At the bottom of the ramp, I meet Pete Longrich, packing a 12-foot-long steel pole down to the boat.
Why do you like fishing?
I guess freedom, just kind of like get away from normal routine.
Right. I hear that.
The adventure. Working outside.
Oh, it's 2 o'clock.
I like it when you're like doing gear work, like you're in the sun rigging crab pots or something, and you just feel like you're in the right place, like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
The fact that Pete just keeps talking through the noise is a very fisherman thing to do. Later on, as I'm walking past, someone starts a small generator on his seiner. Fishing is not what you would call a quiet way to make a living. When a little thing goes on. I pass some halibut fishermen intently sawing salmon into bait-sized pieces with painfully dull knives. They don't have the time to talk to me.
Maybe next time.
All right. All right, good luck, you guys. Who should I run into next but the sage of St. Paul Harbor? Mike Clark.
Mike yeah. Clark, why? Why did you become a fisherman?
It beat the Midwest.
Well, that could have been a lot of things.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a lot of adventure to it.
Right.
So it was something I'd never done and got into it, got hooked. You know, I mean, I was just going to come here just to dine and dash. 40 years later, here I am. I haven't left. Right. Where's the dash? The dash is gone.
Right.
Yeah, it's more of a creep now.
Yeah, there's no more dash left. Well, what have you been up to this summer?
Tendering for set matters.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to stay sane.
Does it seem like it was a pretty good season for those guys?
Well, on and off. I think it wasn't bad overall, but it's just a tough way to make a living.
Yeah.
It's a good family value thing, but they're good people.
They have to be, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, and they're pretty smart, which really cracks me up because it's one of the most primitive fisheries known to man. But
right.
These are highly intelligent people.
Right, why are all setnetters all educated?
I don't get it. I mean, they learn
enough about the world that they go setnet.
I got a retired judge, you know. Yeah. I've got guys with the, you know, college degrees, yeah. And they're doing Neanderthal fishing, and they're very creative with how they move stuff. I mean, it amazes me. But, you know, I mean, yeah. No, it's just a tough go for them. But they're hanging in there. They know what they're doing every summer.
All right.
And I guess money's not a thing.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
I see someone who looks kind of unfisherman-y. Turns out he is one of the many technicians who serve the fleet.
So you do a marine electric?
A marine electric and refrigeration.
Oh, great. So what's the new hotness?
507 is what we're running around here. And
what does that mean?
The type of refrigerant they're using is a different value. It has different chemical compounds to it.
Oh, okay.
And that and... You wouldn't think that you need ice in Kodiak, but it's one of the places you need it the most.
Yeah.
Really
oh, absolutely.
Do. I really do. So, but I came up here from San Diego.
Okay.
So I came up here forward.
Did you do marine electric there, too?
I did residential HVAC. I did that for about 10 years.
Right.
So same concept, same principles.
Right.
Different application.
How much of your business is salmon boats? Salmon catcher boats?
About 10-15%. A lot of the seiners we do a lot, they really depend on it.
Well, I think it's changed fishing, you know, over the last 20 years
yeah.
or so, you know.
It definitely has. I've heard a lot of fishermen complain about canneries, you know, forcing some people to do the RSWs, and some people come in and brag
right.
about not doing anything to their fish and still settling at the same price.
Right. See, that's the thing. If you take it to the tender, and everyone's doing an RSW except one guy, well, that guy's pretty much getting away with not having RSW, because
exactly.
you can't separate them out once you get to the cannery.
Exactly.
Right.
But it is, it's definitely, but it's also improved it as well. You know, like I said, now they can stay out longer. Now people can be out for three
right.
months at a time, and, you know, your tenders can unload and load you, and you don't really have to
right.
come back. Where if you're fighting ice, you're limited to the dynamics of how long you can make the ice
right.
last.
Well, can I use your name on the radio?
Yeah.
What is it?
Storm Wilburn.
Storm Wilburn.
Yep.
All right, thanks, Storm.
Yes, sir.
Have a great rest of the day.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at AMSEA.org or 907-747-3287.
Next, I run into a young man named Tyler Faulkner.
I started my fishing career 3 years ago. I used to work at a sushi restaurant, and my master was telling me about coming up to Alaska to go fishing, and he passed away working. He owned Miwa Japanese in Georgia.
Right.
And so I thought about it, and I planned it out for a year, and I started off at a fishing plant, and then I started learning all the ins and outs of how the business works, and I ended up on the crabbing boat right here on Point Omega.
Oh yeah, I just talked to your skipper.
Oh no way! Yeah, he's amazing. He's a really good skipper. Yeah. He's one of the coolest skippers I've ever had.
Right.
Out of the 3 years, I've only been doing this for 3 years, so I still consider myself green.
Right, you are.
Yeah, I still consider myself green. I'm not seasoned yet. I'm really excited about starting this career. I'm saving right now for a gill netting boat.
Right.
So that's what my plans are for the future.
So are you thinking of getting a Bristol Bay permit or leasing one?
Yeah, that or King Salmon. I've been looking at King Salmon too, and just small little like 35-foot trawlers.
Southeast.
Yeah. It's I don't know. There's a big game out there with a lot of options.
Right. So that's kind of a lifestyle trolling.
Yeah, it is. I love it though. Like it's I get to work for myself. I have skippers, that tell me what to do, but like I'm free. I feel so much free. I feel really free versus, having a set schedule Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday. This is so much cooler, This is like living a dream.
Yeah, with fishing you could work anytime.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I could take a season off if I wanted to and come back. It's really amazing to me. I used to be homeless. During my early 20s, I was homeless. I slept on the streets of Los Angeles. I slept on the streets of Florida, New York, Georgia, kind of like around the coasts. And I managed to meet good people and work my way up. Like I was in Key West, Florida, working at a candy shop and then sleeping out on the beach in a tent, working for a few months to save up enough money so I can make an apartment. And then Hurricane Irma hit and just wrecked the candy shop, wrecked the whole island. I took the money I saved and went up to Georgia and found a cheap apartment. And I got pretty lucky and landed a job at that sushi restaurant. And now I managed to work my way up here to Alaska, and I've met so many nice people, so many great people. They're willing to help you out. As long as you're willing to give yourself that chance to have a better life, they're more than willing to help you out with it. So it's just about taking that step and wanting a better life. So I've been through a lot of ups and downs, and this fishing career has been a very big life changer for me.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.